Late one afternoon, on my way home from a medical appointment in Hyannis, I stopped to get a cup of coffee at a donut shop on Route 28. It had no name, just a red neon sign that said, Donuts. It had never been a fancy place, but now it looked more stripped down than ever, a commercial victim of the recession, but also one of the last local holdouts against the Dunkin' Donuts juggernaut. It was a place you might expect to find in the seedier sections of Fall River or Brockton, say, but not on a main street on Old Cape Cod. The parking lot had not been swept. The plate glass windows, though lit brightly inside, were smudged over. The shapes of the figures inside were blurred and obscured. I was drawn to it, as if to a dream. The glass-enclosed vestibule smelled of stale cigarette smoke. Inside, the air was thick and stale, but less than warm. There were about a dozen customers seated at the counter and the orange plastic booths. Most wore tattered, quilted jackets and jeans with wool watch caps or baseball caps. The men all had short beards or gray, grizzled chins. At two of the Formica tables, two pairs of middle-aged men sat playing cribbage, with two or three others looking on from the counter stools. Another man had a Cape Cod Times spread out over his table, the corner held down with a cup of coffee and a styrofoam cup. At a fourth table, a man with Asian features, somewhat better dressed than the others, sat with a younger woman, somewhat apart from the rest. If only the windows had been clearer, I thought, this would be a perfect 21st century counterpart to Edward Hopper's famous painting, Nighthawks. I had the odd but distinct feeling that I'd entered someone's house or a private club rather than a public coffee shop. Although hardly anyone spoke, there seemed to be a connection between everyone there. You knew that they all knew one another, knew each other's names, habits, opinions. The woman behind the counter was probably 30, 32, but looked 45. She was lean, almost scrawny, with sharp features, stringy dark hair, and one of her yellowed teeth was prominently missing. She wore maroon pants, a Grateful Dead t-shirt, and a smudged apron. "What'll it be?" she asked, and I felt tempted to say, "The usual." Instead, I asked for a small coffee, one sugar, and a glazed stick. She brought them, the coffee sweet and syrupy in a styrofoam cup. "I could use pennies," she said, as I reached in my pocket for change. "Most people don't seem to care about pennies anymore," I said. She didn't rise to the conversational bait, but said simply, "Yeah, but if someone's change is 24 cents, I have to give them pennies." I could have sat down at the counter for a few minutes and watched the cribbage games with the others, but I knew I'd be intruding, no matter on how little. I found myself thinking of Ray Oldenburg's phrase, "The Great Good Place." That's the title of a book he wrote describing local public gathering places, cafes, coffee shops, bookstores, bars, hair salons, places where people, unrelated by work or family or even close friendship, come together and interact, forming intermittent and transitory communities that nonetheless fill important social and personal needs. And I saw that, however dingy and perhaps unattractive to outsiders, this too was a genuine local gathering place, and it was not mine.